Hello, welcome to the Twin Perspectives podcast series run by travel bloggers Twins That Travel. That's us,
Claire
and Laura.
Tune in for regular discussions about our latest travels, interviews and life more generally.
Happy listening.
Bye.
Welcome to episode 12 of the Twin Perspectives podcast series, coming to you today from
Southwark.
Yes.
Bankside. Bankside in London, inside a very glamorous meeting room.
Yes, so we've escaped my office again and we're in London.
Our second interview,
you might have guessed, with two of our favourite travel PR. I feel like girls.
We're women.
Who work for Gosh PR, Hannah and Ella.
Hello.
Hi.
So we have, Gosh PR, the reason we're here today is Gosh PR actually kind of introduced us to our first press trip experience.
Yes.
And having to work to deliverables and that kind of thing. And for us, it was a really good opener into the travel influencer world, working with these girls and with Gosh PR. So we thought it seemed apt to kind of work with them today to see... for anyone else who's got any questions, who wants to
go into the dark side.
Yeah, wants to work in on kind of press trips and that side of things, that we would rack their brains today about what they look for.
Yes. Yeah. So do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. So Gosh PR is a growing travel and lifestyle PR agency. Mm. We also work on sales and marketing. Yeah, so we all, in the office, we tend to have quite a broad skill set, but we all have our specialty areas. I'm more kind of PR and content that then feeds through to our social media team.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Ella, hello. I do PR, but also the travel trade side. So I work with tour operators and create all fun campaigns and that sort of thing. Uh-huh.
Mm, who's got the best job?
Yeah, who has the best job then?
I don't know, it depends.
You both get to do the fun bit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes of the year, one of us is like super crazy busy, other times the other person is. So we, you know,
we kind of feed in and out.
Do you ever overcross in what you do, kind of?
Yeah,
crossover?
We do, yeah. In a lot of Florida we do,
Yeah, and we consult with each other quite a lot, so it's quite nice. We're always involved.
You sit next to each other, don't you?
We do, yeah.
And do you both get to visit your clients?
We do, which is lovely.
Lucky.
Yeah.
How often?
It depends. Sometimes they come here, sometimes we'll go out. So if we have a press trip that has to be hosted, we'll go out and see them in destination, which is great fun because we get a bit of sunshine as well.
Yeah. And when you talk about press trips, is that influencers and media or just media, or is it always a mix?
Usually a mix. We try to now introduce, as part of a group press trip, or we'll tend to have traditional media as well as an influencer to come on the trip with us.
Supplementing it.
So I was going to say, you guys cover a lot of Florida, which is what we've worked with you on. Mm-hmm. And you cover...
We do a lot of USA. Florida's probably one of our specialisms. Yeah. We have a few Florida clients, as well as having Visit Florida.
The best client.
Yeah. But we cover lots of different areas and hotels, luxury sectors...
Car hire.
In the past we've done cruise, so
nice. Okay, so very apt for travel bloggers then.
Travel influencers. So I guess the first question then is, when did you start working with influencers on campaigns,
and whose idea was it?
So it was a while ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, so even since I can remember, and I've been at Gosh for coming up for 7 years now. So even since I can remember, we've been working with like travel bloggers, influencers.
So that's even like 2010 then?
Yes.
God, that's quite early doors, isn't it?
Yeah.
When influencers were just known as bloggers.
You're obviously kind of trailblazers.
Yeah.
What you were doing.
So Drew, our MD, she actually spoke at a big conference back in 2010 about how to introduce working with travel bloggers.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
No, I didn't know that. So you guys are kind of pioneers.
Yeah, I think
so. You've learned a lot then.
Yeah, I think we've definitely been ahead of the curve, and we kind of definitely respected what travel bloggers can do for our clients from day one.
Do you think it's become something bigger over time since 2010? Or do you kind of still dedicate the same amount of...
Bigger.
bigger?
Yeah, it's definitely growing.
Clients are putting it more and more into their budgets and strategies for the year.
So do you find that clients will then come to you and ask for that side of things rather than you having to push it on them?
More so, yeah.
That's interesting.
Absolutely.
And do you think it's because you guys are proving that it works, or do you think it's a bit of going with the times and it's that everyone else is doing it so they feel they have to, or do you think it's kind of a proven sort of marketing method?
I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah.
I think we've always been quite positive and always tried to encourage the clients to include influencers in their marketing.
Yeah. I think we like to think we're quite close with the community as well. Like, we try and get out and meet everyone at events and just, like, keep up to date with what's going on. And so, yeah, we feed that back to the client and, you know, they show an interest. And they just know that's the way the world is going these days. There's so much content and it's online, it's shareable.
It's visual.
It's visual.
Travel.
Yeah. And that's important.
Yeah, you can share it, it stays there, you can amplify it. It's kind of a no-brainer.
So you've never had a moment, a wobble in these last 7 years, you've thought, oh, wait, should we carry on with influencer marketing or should we reallocate funds to traditional forms of PR and marketing?
Oh, no, never, I don't think.
That's good.
Yeah.
Phew.
So how much then is of your PR is dedicated to influencer marketing?
It depends on the client and their budget.
Yeah.
We have clients with smaller budgets who can't always afford to pay a fee.
Yeah.
So that's when we definitely value the kind of more up and coming influencers.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they might have really great content, great photos, you know, they write really well.
Yeah.
And they're not at the stage of charging fees. So that would be a great match for a client that doesn't necessarily have the budget.
Right, okay.
Whereas we have clients with bigger budgets and kind of wider scoped campaigns where they can dedicate, you know, a whole segment of a campaign to influencers.
Yeah. And how easy do you think it was? Because I think probably traditionally it wasn't fee-based. But then saying to your client that you would take an influencer out, pay for their trip and give them a fee.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that must have changed since 2010.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think even now there's still a bit of a transition period. It completely depends on the client.
Yeah.
Like, some people are already comfortable with that and it's just the norm.
Yeah.
Whereas some others may not be quite there yet and are willing, like Hannah said, maybe to host the smaller bloggers and let the less established influencers, but, you know, have a hosted trip but without a fee.
Yeah.
So it just depends on the strategy and the client at the time.
So you just chop and change.
It does. It does depend.
And what do you think in that terms of that transition of clients are transitioning towards it? What do you think is part of that process for them? Is that convincing them that it's worth their while, or convincing them that you would pay someone for a product or some work that they're spending quite a long
time? Absolutely, and it's the longevity of it as well. Yeah. It's going to stay online. If it's a video or a blog, it's going to stay
gonna
there rather than just
blogs views forever.
Yeah, rather than just a piece in the paper at the weekend.
Yeah, yeah, then goes. And likewise, how many of us these days watch real-time TV for adverts?
Exactly.
Read newspapers, read magazines. I see most of my stuff on Instagram, Facebook.
Yeah, I do have one
Twitter
magazine that I'll always read. I'll never give up.
Psychologies. Yeah. But that aside, actually, these days, when are people consuming content?
Yeah.
When I look at my younger sister, it's quite a good example.
How old is she?
She's 24 and she doesn't watch TV.
No,
she doesn't watch TV.
She watches YouTube on our TV.
Well, as a, like a television program, is a YouTuber.
Yeah.
That, to me, I mean, I probably sound
and
old.
And maybe
but
you watch that
as a new generation.
Yeah, and then you transfer to Netflix. But by doing that, you're missing out that whole swathe of like traditional marketing and PR.
Well, even like even Sky, we thought we'd, you know, I'll wait for a program. If it starts at 9, I'll wait to watch it till 9:15 because then I can forward through the ads.
Oh, I do that.
Yeah,
exactly.
So I guess, there is some.
So I think it depends as well as who the client is trying to target for that particular project. Because if they are looking for, you know, the millennial, you know, this new generation that's coming through, you need to recognise actually what do they look at, what do they see on a day-to-day basis, and then you go down those channels. So that's where I think influencers definitely come into their own there.
Yeah. That's true, actually. And yeah, like you said, if your sister's consuming media how she is and they want to target a 23-year-old, then you just use
perfect.
An influencer is a perfect choice, I guess.
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer.
Exactly. Yeah. I guess, do you have, if you were going to target, if a destination had a target of, you know, a 40-plus woman or something like that, would you then say, actually, you're not interested in Instagrammers or interested in Facebook?
No,
do you change that, like the platforms as well?
Yeah, so we've got a database. Every influencer that we come in contact with, we add them to our database, and it's all categorised, you know, food, yeah, travel, luxury, fashion, and then gather from them, you know, who are your viewers, you,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
who are your followers, how, you know, do you, have you got a breakdown of their demographic?
Yeah. Because
that way, you know, there might be a more mature female influencer with a big following, or even a modest following, but it's extremely relevant to the client.
Yeah, it's like kind of you open up a cabinet and you're like, oh, I need 30-something with... And when do you, because I know you guys work with celebrities as well,
so
when do you guys make the choice then between an influencer and a celebrity? Because what is the...
This is a good question.
Yeah, what's the celebrity bringing?
Ella's making...
Money.
Oh, I budget. See, okay, yeah, money, okay.
I mean, it's not always budget. It depends on how much you want out of it. So if the client particularly wants online content, then you would look to someone that has a website, that has a blog, where they can host this content.
Yeah.
Where if it's purely brand awareness, exposure, then you could go more down the celebrity route for someone that's just got a massive Instagram following,
and
they're just going to post for a week.
That's true. Do you, here's a thorny question, say, we're talking about the fees and stuff, but would you necessarily ask as much of a celebrity as you would an influencer in terms of content?
We ask different things for them.
Yeah.
So, for instance, for a celebrity, we might not be able to get the content because they wouldn't have a website.
Yeah.
But we would then ask for a media partnership.
So yeah.
Can you work with this magazine?
I see. Okay.
We can do that pitching in. So, you know, we can try and secure those pieces of coverage. So.
Yeah. That's your job too, to do that, I guess. Okay, so they bring, like, Claire and I can never bring you OK Magazine. But we could.
Maybe one day.
But we can bring you website content.
Yeah, and there are now a lot of influencers feed into, like, metro.co.uk. You know, they work with influencers
for their content.
So, you know, there is always that option as well.
For the lines are blurring.
So you've never, it never goes then in your mind, celebrity, established journalist, influencers, everyone's in the same pot and you're moving around to your
mix and matching depending on budgets and content and digital platforms and all that.
Okay. Yes. So influencers are just as legitimate for you.
Definitely.
Yeah, we want to make everything as integrated as possible. So, you know, if we can get it shared on social, on a website, in print, you know, we want to do
amazing.
All that.
Amazing. Yeah.
You look generally very happy.
Sure, because it's a question I've asked myself, because I think sometimes, maybe this is just me, I feel worried that influencers are the bottom of the barrel when it comes to...
No.
So you're thinking, oh, okay, we need to promote this region. It'd be great if we had that girl off EastEnders go. It'd be amazing if we had Telegraph or Guardian go, oh, they can't, so we'll ask a blogger. Like, that's how I've always worried. So it's interesting to hear that we bring valuable ROI
kind
of content to you guys that's just as legitimate as someone's OK piece.
Yeah, it's just as relevant. Yeah, absolutely.
Fab.
Okay, so could you talk us through the process? So you've got your client, you know the budget, you know that they want to use some influencers.
Mm-hmm.
Could you talk us through the process of how you look at these bloggers and decide who to ask and all of that?
And why not? If you decide not to, like...
Oh, Laura.
Oh, wait. Or two.
Or maybe...
Pardon.
Go to pardon.
I guess we have the campaign brief from the client.
Yeah.
And we talk about the strategy, the year ahead, how we want to work, what we want to do for this year. And then we kind of have lots of meetings, don't we? We have a lot of internal discussions and brainstorms about who we want to approach, what would fit this strategy, you know, what sort of demographic audience is going to work well.
Yeah.
And then, we, like Hannah said earlier, we've already got a database of bloggers, influencers and people, so we kind of look at that to get inspiration. But we also do a lot of online research. You know, I'll look over at Hannah one day, she'll be tapping away YouTube.
And is that happens? Because Laura said, do you just literally type into Google, travel blogger?
You do, don't you? You
try every single search term possible to come up with different searches, because a lot of the time you'll get the same.
Yeah.
You already know of them. So you want the new people. You want to see who we've missed, you know, who we're not aware of.
Yeah.
And I think it really helps to be kind of part of the influencer community. You know, we go to a lot of events.
We meet people.
You guys are very present. And I think you're known to be very influencer-friendly, kind of approachable, which often I feel quite nervous about approaching PRs, because I think, oh, you know, they'll just think, again, I'm bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
I think you guys have got a name for being like you said, pioneered. You're ahead of, if it was 2010, then you guys know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. So people, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Definitely. So I think as well, it helps kind of being involved and meet with people quite a lot, because I think the influencer community is really friendly. I feel like everybody's really good friends. They're really open.
Travel's very nice.
We get introduced to a lot of people.
They're really open to like introducing you to their friends or to I met this girl and she would be great for one of your clients.
Yeah.
Or, I know it didn't work out with me this time, but have you considered this person? So I kind of feel that they really help each other out, and which I think is great.
Well, I was saying, we have our WhatsApp group of travel bloggers. We're all travel bloggers. We're in the WhatsApp group. We put each other forward for things. We give each other contacts.
That's really good.
We talk about fees.
Yeah.
We just do that. But I know that doesn't happen in every blogging sector.
Mm.
I'm not so sure you would find that so much in others. Beauty.
Yeah.
But I think in travel, we're like friendlier.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going off the topic. So you've got your little database.
We're researching. Yeah. And we're researching newbies or anyone that's new on the scene that we might not know about.
Yeah.
Doing all that. And then I guess we have a short list. We have kind of like, well, this might work. You know, different levels of followers, maybe.
Yeah.
Different stages of their maybe blogging, you know,
career journey.
And then we go to the client with the short list, and we kind of go through each of them, have like a call.
Yeah.
Have a conference call. And then we go through them, and kind of once we know where we want to go with it, we'll approach the blogger influencer and just gauge their
interest, availability,
if they're up for it, what would they think, have a meeting, have a coffee, all that jazz.
What I like about that is often we can get requests where everything is so vague still, so there's no, it's literally like, would you possibly,
no, or it's under NDA, so they can't even tell
you, they can't tell you, or it's just very vague, and then you're going back and forwards, and then it doesn't work out, and then it happens again and again and again. But with you guys, you always come in straight with, this is the pitch, this is where you'll be going,
this is like, how long you'll be going for.
Yeah, and that's just so much easier, isn't it? Saves so much time.
Yeah,
definitely.
For everyone.
So when you are picking, are there any, maybe even two things that you will always look for? And you guys said following isn't always the thing you're looking for, which is really heartening, I think, for a lot of bloggers.
I think number one is safeness.
Safeness. And what does that mean?
Does that mean like they haven't suddenly got randomly a picture where they're swearing and and then they revert back to a travel thing and then they do something?
Anything that could be interpreted as possibly a little rude or offensive.
Wholesome.
Yeah. Do you know what? That has never occurred to me. Not that we, you know, do anything.
I swore on a podcast last week.
That's fine.
So I think that's definitely number one.
Safeness. Okay, so that
you feel that you'll be safe with them delivering.
That your client is safe in their hands.
Do we want to relate our client with this person?
Reputationally wise.
Yeah.
Okay. Number two.
Number two would be quality of content.
Yeah.
I think it's very important. So from the quality of the photographs to how well they write.
Yeah.
That would be number two.
Can't remember the question.
So what are you looking for? So what would make you interested? So you've got safety. Okay, they look safe.
What would make
their their content is like high quality.
Yeah.
That's second.
Yeah.
Is there a third?
I guess where they live actually is quite, because blogging and being an influencer, you can be remote and you can live all over the world, where we need
That's interesting.
People that have a UK demographic, because
their audience. So when does social media followers, or people get obsessed by Instagram numbers and all this, when does that even come into play for you guys in the list?
I mean, it depends how relevant their channel is.
Yeah.
If, for instance, a fashion blogger might not always work for travel, because they might post these amazing photographs, but when you actually read the comments, it's, I love your dress,
where it's about
you
get dress. It from?
It's about the dress, it's about what they're wearing, you know, how many people are actually like, where are you? How did you get there?
Yeah.
What else is there to do?
Yeah.
How engaged are their audience and how genuinely interested
are they? It's their community as well, that you want to be ensure, again, their audience are looking at it through the lens that you want them to look at it through.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
Can I go on that holiday too?
This is an argument Laura and I have all the time, isn't it? About how sometimes...
Or with each other?
No. Sometimes we feel like we've had experiences, we're on a trip,
we're
like at the front of the group, writing notes on, you know, the destination that we're at.
Yeah.
And there's others who are just changing outfits and taking pictures. And I always think, I'm interested to always think, why were they also there? Because how are they promoting the destination? And for some people, it doesn't matter, does it? Because as long as you've got the tag, all they care about is the tag of the destination at the top, you're done.
Yeah.
But you're looking for a bit more in that the audience are actually interested.
Definitely. Yeah. Interacting and asking questions and sharing, and that's the ideal scenario, isn't it?
Okay. And what about like repertoire of content? So we all have our blogs, we all have our Instagram. Do you sometimes think, oh, but that person's also got a vlog, they're amazing on Facebook, they've got the little bit of extra
je ne sais quoi,
or an extra stream of content that perhaps is in addition to what you normally get, kind of thing?
I think if you've got video content and you're quite good at producing video, that's always a big bonus.
Yeah. What would you say of a podcast?
I think podcasts are on Laura. The move.
Shameless. Love a podcast.
I know loads of people that now actually listen to podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
It's definitely growing.
Yeah, podcasts.
Hashtag trend.
I guess the problem always with a podcast, and you're talking about destination, is the visual element.
You can't, yeah, it's quite hard to summon it.
I find it's a nice way to casually talk about like little antidote stories.
Storytelling,
rather than getting those into a blog is a bit hard.
Yeah.
But it's easier to talk about like the haunted hotel that we stayed in Northumberland.
And with Anna Maria Island.
Yeah,
exactly.
Talking about the time my bikini bottoms came down the horse riding thing.
Yeah.
Great lesson.
Thanks. Okay, so that's good to know. So as well as, so you want safety, you want proper engagement, quality, and sometimes if you've got a little bit of extra for whatever, razzmatazz.
Exactly.
That's always good. And the question that we got through this morning, which I mentioned to you earlier, was about the whole debate, especially with, have you followed the White Moose Cafe story?
No.
You haven't? You haven't?
I'll
fill you
in. Interested to read it.
I'll be interested. Well, maybe I'll say it now. Maybe I'll just say it.
Go ahead, tell the story.
So essentially, there's a hotel in Dublin, and they're very good on social media.
We talked about this.
So the whole, for many people, I think, who probably would have proactively pitched, I think they're terrified now to pitch in case they end up as the next El Derby.
Yeah.
How do you feel about bloggers emailing you and pitching an idea?
I think sometimes it's a bit of a waste of time. Because
I love this.
Very interesting.
It's interesting.
Yeah, because if the client doesn't have the budget available, it doesn't fit with our strategy or our plans for that year or for the next few months, then, you know, you've spent a lot of time really pouring your heart into something that you really want to work and come through.
Yeah.
And then we get it and actually we can't do anything with it because we don't have the budget. It doesn't fit what we do, and we've got our trips planned for the next.
Yeah, because you guys are very then proactive in you've got your campaigns, and then you're looking for your bloggers. You're not looking necessarily for a blogger to give you an idea, because you guys seem quite driven already by your clients.
But I guess it's also travel's different. It's not like a pair of shoes. It's not like you've got infinite holidays and ideas to give. You know, sure, yeah, you can go here and you can go here. It's
We're kind of planning like at least 6 months ahead, aren't we? Our campaigns and stuff. Yeah. We're busy in the now doing stuff we're doing.
But I guess what happens then, if someone pitches but you think, oh, but I've never heard of them before, so
they're in the database
and we'll often go back to it and be like, oh, do you remember that person that emailed us with that idea? That would work perfectly for this.
And if anyone's got like an hour free, you know, go for a coffee, we'll just say, this one sounds great, who can meet them next week
for a quick coffee.
And
okay, so perhaps then,
so it's probably a bit mean saying it was a complete waste of time.
It's interesting to say
they're not going to get that trip that they want in the next time.
It might not be that easy, but at least it's a step.
So what they might do instead then is say, hi Hannah, hi Ella, my name's Didida, this is my media kit, if you're ever interested, just, you know, drop me a line and just leave it there.
Particularly interested in
maybe these angles. So you haven't got kids, or I haven't got kids, or I'm on my own, or I'm an older traveller.
And that's something as well that we add into our little database that we have, you know, do they have children, how old are the children, because then it determines whether they'd need to travel with their family in school holidays, which is often a blackout period. So that's another thing we have to
any info
in.
Like that is
really
great.
Helpful.
How many do you get, a lot of emails from bloggers?
Probably 5 a week, I'd say.
And do you think a blank, can you always tell when something is a blanket email kind of that might have been sent to a lot of PRs?
I don't always mind a blanket email, because then it's easier, because you don't feel like they've spent a good few hours pouring their heart into an email, because they're really hopeful.
Yeah,
they're just getting on the radar.
Want to be on your radar. Totally.
please
good thing to have, you know.
Yeah.
And if they can include an example of content, like maybe a link to something that they've done or written recently,
okay,
that would be great, because then we've kind of got that on the email and we can refer back to it just to see the style of writing.
Do you appreciate it if they know a little bit about GOSH, that like they've done their homework a little bit, or does it not matter? Doesn't matter.
I mean, it's a nice bonus if you read that and you think, oh look, they read that piece about Hertz or Florida, and you think
my favourite
doesn't
have
to be, does it?
I guess that I was thinking about this, and a question we get asked a lot, and I don't think we realised it until, you know, a couple of years ago, is we thought you approach the tourism board. So I want to go to Florida, so I email Visit Florida. And then obviously the case is most of the time they're being represented by a PR agency. Mm-hmm. How is there an easy way to know who represents who? Or say I said, I really want to go to Texas. Oh, I don't know whether I try and find a contact for Texas Tourism Board or it's a PR agency. How do we know?
So I think a lot of the time you can just go to the website and they'll have like a media page and a contact
page. A contact on the tourist board site.
I know a lot of the USA tourist boards will have it broken down to like a Europe-based contact or a UK-based contact. Hmm. And then that is usually the PR agency.
Okay, then.
Because that's often a question we get asked, isn't it?
Yes, maybe go direct there then to the media page. And then, because I think before when we have approached tourism boards, they've gone, can you just get in contact with, and then it's the PR agency.
Yeah.
And you get sent round. That's a helpful tip.
It's very helpful. Okay, so is there anything else apart from for the kind of the process of it? So you contact the influencer, they say great, and then you go ahead with the campaign. And what would you usually be asking for? So obviously we know that what you'd get when we say yes, we get a contract and stuff. But do you want to talk us through what would happen next if a travel blogger said, yes, I'm going to work on X campaign with you and want to go?
I think, as you kind of said before, we tend to be pretty upfront about this is how much money we can spend, this is what we expect in return. You know, there's some flexibility within that. You know, if you can't deliver this, but what can you deliver? Or some kind of alternative. And so I guess that's worked out very much up front. And then it's actually working things out, like the itinerary, your interests. We always like tend to meet up in person to go through, just get a personal touch,
have a burger.
Absolutely. Any excuse.
Loves burgers.
Loves a burger.
Yeah,
writes on notepad. She loves a burger.
So you try and make the itineraries as personal to that person as possible, rather than sending.
We don't have just like a standard itinerary that we send to everybody. Every itinerary that's put together by us and the client is tailored to each person that's travelling.
And what if say you get the itinerary and then an influencer says, this is amazing, I've got a really great idea though, I'd love to do a video based on this, so you're always welcome to their ideas as well.
Absolutely.
It's a collaboration, we want it to be as natural as possible.
And if they think that fits their audience, then great, you know, that may not, that, you know, you guys are the experts in that, who your audience are, then if you think something's going to work, then please just share it and we'll make it, we'll do our best to make it happen.
Yeah, and it's definitely not a problem if you think something's not going to work, you say thanks for this, it's a really great idea, but it's not for us.
Again, this is what I would talk about this the other day, is people are so scared they can get an itinerary or they can get a contract through with X amount of deliverables, and they're too scared to say, well, do you know what, I don't actually know if that's going to work with our audience, or bless you. Sorry. But you shouldn't be scared to say that,
should you? It's a negotiation on both sides, I think.
Definitely. Oh, it's nice that you say that about, because I think, and we've had this discussion for the last few months about when a PR, for example, says to you, these are your deliverables and this is what you must do. And then, for example, we know our audience very, very well. And often I feel like, well, what you've said there, actually, I don't agree that you're going to get great engagement there. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think it might do quite badly. Mm-hmm. I feel like I have a responsibility to tell you.
Yeah, definitely.
But then often you may be told, no, we're the experts. But do you think, I think that's changing, perhaps.
Definitely. Because I think, well, obviously, we all have like a standard set of deliverables for everybody, and then we tailor it. And I think quite often you'll get, well, I mean, we try and research as much as possible. You know, so we'll look at your posting habits. Do you post every day? Do you post once a week? We try and, you know, get that information. Or, you know, does it not really matter? Is it a bit sporadic? You know, one day you'll do five posts and you won't post again, you know, for a month.
Till next year.
What are your usual posting habits? And then we try and work that in, you know, when we have if we have the time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes we can, you know, be doing step and
trips
at
work. Yeah, yeah.
So that's when we would definitely rely on you knowing your audience. So actually, our audience doesn't respond well when we post more than once a day.
Yeah.
So perhaps we could just post for a longer period rather than doing maybe two or three posts a day.
I think that's really good for people to know, because I don't think they know that they can do that. It feels very one-sided, and you're sometimes you're so in awe that, oh my god, they're taking me to Florida and they're doing this. You don't want to say anything, but actually I've realized if you want to do a good job back, we want to do a good job back to you guys, and we have to be honest if something doesn't work.
Exactly. I respect that. I think it's a two-sided thing.
Okay, so then what do you think makes for a successful influencer campaign? How do you measure in terms of return on investment?
Well, I think putting a value on it is very hard.
Isn't it hard, isn't it?
It's quite tricky.
Isn't it hard?
Yeah, and I don't think, So I guess it depends on what you want out of it.
Yeah.
Whether it is brand awareness.
Yeah.
Whether you want direct bookings. And that's probably the best way to look at it. So, you know, if you do want brand awareness, how many people saw it? You know, what were the impressions?
Yeah.
Or engagement.
And then, you know, if they did want bookings, well, actually, how many people clicked on that link to genuinely think about booking?
Yeah.
So it really depends.
It's hard, isn't it? Because I guess if you put a one-page ad in the newspaper for one of your regions, what are you hoping for with that? Awareness, would you say, or bookings?
Both. It depends on the call to action. Yeah, if we're just saying about how lovely the area is, then it's just awareness. And, you know, have you heard about this part of Florida?
Yeah.
Or if it's actually got a tour operator and a number, then we'd like...
Would you say influencer wherever sits more in one of those camps, like awareness
and engagement?
Just awareness.
Yeah. Engagement,
Because it's hard, isn't it? Because it's hard for... How do we know that someone hasn't read that blog post
and then
that we wrote
later.
On Florida, and then a year later they've read that blog post and it was a final push to book
that place that they
heard
about.
I can't tell you that. And
I know.
That's what's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what about, I mean, there's a lot of people at the moment who are really despairing over their Instagram algorithm, and they go on these trips and they feel like their photos haven't done as well as they think they should have done, and they're panicking. How do you do? Is that just one of many things that you take into account, so you shouldn't worry so much, or should we be worried?
How I think once we're working with you, and we know we're working with you for the right reasons, and we know why we're working with you, if it doesn't perform well, we understand that's out of your control. You know, it's not. You know, the algorithms sometimes completely mess things up.
But is it nice to see an influencer? It's probing questions, so, hey, do you want to come here? How did this make you feel?
Yeah,
do you love this as much as we love it?
Love those.
Do you want that?
Love a poll.
Love a poll. Can I say that Anne-Marie Ireland poll?
99%.
99%
Are you serious?
Of people wanted to go. But
that's
why not?
Amazing.
Why wouldn't they?
It was the 1% that wanted to go.
Probably.
There's always a passive-aggressive audience.
Ex-boyfriend.
Ex-friend. Someone just seeking to ruin your life. They will always put no on everything. So, so maybe then you make the best out of a bad situation. So Instagram's very hard, but put your effort in trying to encourage engagement for you, and stories and that kind of stuff. Do the best that you can.
Stories really help now, don't they?
Stories. I guess you've got stories now as well, which is a helpful, very helpful tool.
I think it's also helpful with stories as well, if you're able to just save them and send them as well, and let us know how many people saw them. Just give us some kind of reporting.
Good point, Hannah.
Because obviously we can, you know.
Why are you saying that?
Because we sometimes forget. You know, stories disappear, don't they?
I thought you were about to say, Claire, you still haven't sent me those stories.
No. We try to be really good with saving stories, but because they disappeared.
It is sad. They last, I think, story stats, we can get them for a long time back now, 10 days.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because it used to be immediate, and it used to be like, oh, crap.
And how handy then, so we talk about ROI, is it just then to have had an influencer create you a good blog and some beautiful photography? Is that in itself valuable, like, just to... In itself, you're like, no, it looks beautiful, it reads really well, therefore we're happy.
Yeah, definitely. Especially if the client is really active on social media, because then they're going to
share
it. They can share
away.
You know, it's something they're going to be proud
good
of sharing.
Good piece of content to
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important.
Though, we must say that...
We were to say,
we had two messages, didn't we, from people that were going to Universal Studios this month because of our campaign last year.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
I'll send those metrics your way.
Thank you.
So
I just want gold stars.
No, give me a medal. Laura, you said this wasn't about us and you're making it about us.
Give me validation.
God's sake. An ultimate question is, do you think influencer marketing in the travel sector at least will continue for the foreseeable future?
Yes. Definitely. I think the fact that how visual it is, and you feel like you're on holiday with them. You know, you feel like you're on the trip, you're seeing it day by day.
Yeah.
Especially with stories, I think they're really fun.
It's a natural way as well, isn't it? It's such a fun way to engage, promote. It's not like... stuff that we all want to see, you know, travel industry stuff is fun to look at.
There's definitely a place for it.
Yeah, you can't see it dying out anytime soon, at least.
No. Then,
so we're all right.
And for this year, do you feel that your budgets are just the same? Everything's still as it was, which is great. So it's still as strong as it was.
Yeah, I think if anything, clients are increasing budgets
over traditional forms, probably.
Yeah, it's great to know. And if
she's just making this up, hasn't
she? Yeah, so I'm like, right, well, what can I do? Okay. So then, if you write,
how's your budget looking for next year?
So this year, then, if an influencer wants to start making trips, what would be your best tips then to make themselves just stand out? Keep producing great quality content.
Yes. Media pack up to date.
Media pack up to date.
And easily available.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because if we can just look at your website and see it there, that's absolutely great. Because then when you make contact, then I think people are like, oh, great, where am I going? Like, so you don't want to, you know, make contact.
Yeah.
And do you want false hope?
And just that, those first impressions as well, like, you want them to be replying in a kind of, not leaving things for weeks and then between emails, like, they get back to you and it's treated like a business, so they kind of a professional as well in how they're getting back to you and everything like that.
Yeah, in my experience, I've never found that a travel influencer has been unprofessional. I feel anything, they're the keenest of all, you know, they get back straight away, you know, they really want to please. Yeah, so I don't think that's ever been a problem for that kind of unprofessional side. I think they're always been extremely professional, especially everyone that we've worked with.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Again, Laura wants you to say that. Wants you to say that.
No.
So the last question, which Laura's kind of nabbed, was, do you have any final tips for bloggers looking to work with you on travel campaigns, which you have just sort of said, haven't you?
Yeah,
I think another good one is, I think you guys are on media platforms like Gorkana and things.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
We
go on there quite a lot, don't we?
Yeah.
Just to get people's vital statistics.
Ella, would you just be able to, for those that don't know what Gorkana is? Because, I mean, we've met a lot of people that don't know what Gorkana is, and it sounds weird, so maybe explain what it is.
Yeah, it's basically like a media monitoring platform. So we as the PR can look up any publication, pretty much, and find out the followers, the monthly unique browsers of the website, the circulation of the newspaper.
Laura's making a mental note.
No, I have another question.
We can find out who writes for that paper, who the editor is, who the travel editor is, if they're on maternity leave, who's covering that leave.
Yeah.
So everything, anything so handy.
And a little note section in there, so the newspaper can be like, do not contact us on a Friday.
And it'll be, my... like deadline for late deals on a weekend is a Wednesday, or you know, PRs please email, don't call, things like that. It's
best
really
day
valuable.
Pitching is a Monday.
Well, I haven't told you what's in our next section.
What does it say?
I said anything.
And we also think it's great attending events like Traverse.
Mm-hmm.
We tend to go to most of their events
WTM's they do some good influencer and networking events.
So that's the World Travel Market, which I think a lot of influencers attend.
Yes.
But that's normally September, October time?
No, like November.
Early November.
Sorry, at the XL.
We've only ever made it once, and it was the most tiring experience.
It's good fun, though. They do, you know, drinks, networking things.
Yeah, the evening events are good. Daytime for us is usually taken up with client appointments.
Yeah.
So the evening events are definitely the ones where you're more likely to meet with PRs.
Mingle. So I think what's come across and what one of my fears is, and maybe this is kind of urban legend, is that PRs often, this is, you know, maybe they're really busy, that you guys are so busy, you're under pressure, something comes in, you pick names off the top of your head and they go forward because you're so busy. But actually, I think what you said is you guys put real care into who you're selecting. You have a really good awareness of your database and you match very carefully. So people shouldn't feel like, well, I'll never make it, because they just pick off the top of the head of these top people.
No, definitely not. We're always looking for the newbies as well, and the next new blogger. You know, we've worked with people that were a lot smaller and now are a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Now that might charge more, and they didn't back then. And we, you know, we love that.
Yeah. Are there any twins out there?
We did get twins follow us before.
There is an Instagram account out there called Twins That Don't Travel, which
is a parody of
us. That's
cute. How dare they?
Pretty sure it was set up by our best friend.
Oh, right, okay. Someone
should never admit it. That's funny. Should never admit it.
And do you use, again, this is another, I think, question that a lot of bloggers have. So we won't go into it, but the whole bot gate, bot followers, do you guys use Social Blade or those kind of tools to monitor and say, okay, their following is genuine?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you can tell as well.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of, you get an idea of how many likes they usually get, how many comments they usually get.
Likes versus followers kind of thing.
Yeah. And who the people are that are commenting. Yeah. Like if it's like Big Boobs 99.
It's even the comment itself, because if it, sometimes those comments are often just like great one, thumbs up.
Yeah, it's generic, isn't it?
So there's nothing
or
in
it. It's like great content. Mm. Or follow me back.
Yeah, you know that it's fake. Yeah,
so you do
keep your eye out.
Yeah,
that's reassuring. Yeah. I think that's really reassuring, actually. Yeah. I think for a lot of people,
including us, I guess.
Yeah, including us. And hopefully our static Instagram growth has shown you that we're not buying followers.
Great on the podcast,
though. Yeah, great on the podcast.
So is there anything kind of final that you want to say in terms of tips for bloggers out there, new bloggers?
Or any myths you want to dispel about PRs and travel PRs?
We're nice people.
Yeah. Do you talk to each other? Do you talk to other firms, other travel PR firms?
Yeah, we do. We've
got loads of buddies.
Yeah.
As in, do you say, these guys are great, or these guys, nah, that kind of thing?
Well, I think with us, for example, we represent Visit Florida.
Yeah.
Within Visit Florida, lots of destinations.
Yeah.
The destinations have their own UK PRs.
Yeah.
So we have to work with them.
That way.
Yeah,
I see.
And we have great relationships with
them.
Right,
okay.
So then usually, like, for example, the influencer campaign that we worked with you on last year with Visit Florida, Universal was one of our partners.
Yeah.
We sent
a shortlist.
Yeah, so we sent a shortlist of them. So these guys...
I see, yeah.
Who would like to put forward, who do you want to work with, or do you have any other suggestions?
I see, yeah.
So it's all collaborative.
Okay.
All collaborative.
Yeah. So you guys are networked, you're well linked in.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what actually quite, that makes me often feel quite nervous, but then I think actually if everyone's like you, we needn't be nervous because you guys are always looking for...
Laura, they're just people who eat burgers.
Love a burger.
They're more than that.
Should we end there?
Oh, I'm just a person who eats a burger.
Well, thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I think it's very helpful. If I could have listened to this like... Three and a half years ago, it would have been
even last year. I think it just—it's. I think it's really reassuring to know that you guys.
And you hear myths as well, don't you? And don't email, or no, you should be pitching, or you shouldn't be pitching, or if you haven't got an Instagram following of this, you're never going to go, you know, get anything. And I think this has helped a lot.
Yeah, I think so. And it's nice to know that you see influencers as legitimate and kind of a valid source of PR and marketing.
Yeah.
You also put equal effort into matching, and that I think maybe the thing I would take from it is that if I don't get a campaign, and we've been there loads of times, Claire, it's not because we're crap or you don't like us. It's because in that instance,
it just doesn't quite fit.
It doesn't fit. And
you
actually,
were a round peg in a square hole.
Yeah, and as an influencer, I completely respect that. And if anything, I might be like, oh yeah, but this girl I think can help you out here.
Yeah,
and then you know, keep it that way. And I think that's a really nice thing to take home, and don't feel deflated
or competitive.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, like Claire and I don't have children, so to a certain extent, we can only fulfil.
Definitely.
If you do think that us having kids is going to help us in the long run, become more family, can you tell us?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
On an actual serious note, just putting the note out there, there is a bit of a gap in the market for family YouTubers from the UK.
Okay, I'll let my husband know.
He's pitching in.
No, but that's really helpful to know.
Honestly,
yeah. So family YouTubers.
Yeah.
Small or adult or teenage kids?
Ideally for me, I would like the UK version of the Bucket List Family. Would be my absolute dream.
Amazing.
Okay, we'll work on that. Put it into the travel strategy for the next 2 years. Come back to you in 2 years.
Yeah.
They might not be as good looking.
Yeah. Actually, we have some questions.
My own children. It's a bucket list. Compared to the bucket list family, my own family might not be as good looking.
Your dad is. Let's yeah. Pull that bit out. Yeah, but we actually have some questions.
Can we quiz you?
Us.
Yeah.
Okay. Question time.
Go on then.
Bing bong.
Question time.
Is who are your favourite PRs?
I know Adela.
Yeah, we just wanted to kind of find out more from your side. Like, what would be your approach with working with PRs? Do you... Obviously, you must get stuff that comes through to you, like news or agencies contacting you.
Okay,
invites.
Yeah.
But do you seek out new opportunities as well? Do you go proactively?
And I think, actually, what would be really great to anyone listening to this podcast is to tweet Gosh, actually, if you have any answers to these questions as well. It'd be really helpful to gather... I think quite a lot. Yeah, a lot of answers.
So for a minute, I thought we were real time. I was like, do you want me to do that now?
No, but I think if anyone's listening, if they have any thoughts on this as well, they tweet Gosh.
At Gosh PR.
At Gosh PR.
What do Gosh do?
So I think when what puts me off, so...
puts you off?
The kind of blanket approach of a press release.
Okay.
And often as well...
Make notes.
Yeah, it's the blanket approach, we don't have a name, you know, but I think don't think you guys do this anyway.
Yeah, you don't.
But then perhaps further down the line, when it's clear that they are coming very much from the perspective of they've created their campaign, they know their deliverables, it doesn't matter if you feel that you've got some real good advice for them, that actually you're just a bit of
a mule,
a minion, like a bit of cannon fodder for them just to send out, and there's no real value behind the value you're creating. And I think whereas you guys are very respectful to influencers and kind of get how it works, I think when it just comes at you as this is what you're doing, this is what you need to do, now go and do it.
Yeah.
And I might want to say to you, but wait, or I might want to say to you, but I really think I've got a better idea about how it will work. And then I'm treated like I don't know anything about my own industry.
Yeah.
And I think, it can feel patronising at times, can't it?
I think the biggest thing for me, that annoys me, but it doesn't annoy me as much as people who don't appreciate that we have a real job and you can waste our time. So, you know, when you get an email and they haven't really looked into dates or availability, and then they kind of leave you hanging for months and you're trying to...
Often like 4 or 5
and
months.
And I find that quite... They kind of put me off, actually, certain PR agencies, because I feel like they're not really...
they think you're just sitting there waiting
And it's
stuff.
Yeah, and I just feel like respect is needed both sides. We're essentially trying to run a business, and so it would be really nice, like you guys, if you're definitely going to go ahead with it, contact us.
Fun.
But if you're not sure and it's just an idea you want to run by us and things, I'd rather not have those emails and just have ones where definitely we can discuss things, because it can be so time consuming, or you can put aside some time and then it doesn't work out. And I get that a lot of that happens, but I think it's more only contact a blogger if there's a proper opportunity.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because it's all about time for us, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. And I think other things I think which you do really well is that you're open to a discussion or a discourse about what you're going to do.
Discourse.
I used that word yesterday and therefore it's in my mind.
Therefore it's in my mind.
So I think that what you do really well is you create that open relationship between two parties who I think we both have the same goal, which is of creating really great content. Yeah. The other thing I think is being approachable. Because often I think...
Laura gets really nervous.
Get very nervous about approaching a PR, and also feeling like a bit like a parasite in a way, because they're coming to you to ask the things often, aren't
they?
But I think if you're put at ease immediately, then it makes me feel more confident in having a discussion with you. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then also, like you said, knowing that you're part of the influencer world is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because often travel bloggers will talk about travel influencer-friendly PRs. And then we'll begin to name them between each other. And then there's obviously some we know that aren't.
Right.
But I think when names come up a lot that you know are travel friendly, it gets shared a lot more.
It's travel friendly and it's not time wasters. You're respectful of our time, and therefore it makes us want to do more with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I think the other thing lastly, I don't think we all expect extortionate fees. I think to a certain extent there's a portion of the influencer bubble that are putting these very high fees out. They're happening to undermine a lot of other influencers and work we would do. And we'll be happy to say when we went to Anamir Island, it was because we desperately wanted to go.
Yeah.
And we fully appreciated
it as well.
Yeah, and we fully appreciated it. It was a stunning destination, the most fun trip we've had in forever.
Yes.
And the content we created in itself was of value to us.
Because yeah.
We get value back from engagement, from more followers, and from people saying, you know, oh, we really enjoy where you visit. So I think not to think that all influencers are after thousands of pounds, because I don't think we are.
No.
I think it's not.
As well, especially with travel, that it's important to value what you're offering.
Yes.
So, you know, flights, accommodation, the attractions, the meals that are included.
I mean, I can afford that kind of holiday.
Exactly.
Like, I couldn't, personally, so I fully appreciate the value. And I just think there's a portion of the blogging world that do charge huge amounts, but that, I think, that's what my worry about why influencer bubble will burst, is because
it grows too fast
and people get too greedy, really. So, just to reassure you that no one thinks like that, but a few people.
No, that is good.
Yeah, and I think it's good for us to know as well, you know, that there's not just, like, a set fee, and there's no negotiation, you know, because we could be paying you one fee to, you know,
to do one thing
next door.
Yeah. And also, I think what you guys are good is that when, if there, for example, there's no fee, but you have an amazing holiday, you're not then saying, right, you have to go and do this now, this now, this now, this now. You're quite relaxed in that then we will produce our content kind of organically.
As you see fit. Whatever works for that time.
Yeah. Whereas sometimes you say, PRs would say, can you come here? There's no fee, but we also need you to do 2 YouTube videos, like 100 Instagram posts, 3 blog posts. And you think that's when you feel a little bit like you've been taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that would take about up to two weeks work sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And if I said to someone, look, can you now not go on holiday and then come back and then not work for a further 2 weeks for free, could you afford that? And no one can. So again, it's a big ask.
Yeah.
It's a bit of respect that we're all just trying to pay our mortgages.
I think the content as well is always up for discussions. You know, if you know you have to fulfill 2 blog posts, obviously the client's got an idea, but you know, whether it's a destination overview or whether you say actually this was our favourite part, we'd rather do one that focuses on this, and then perhaps we try and get all the inclusions in the other one.
And I think maybe that's my last point, is that as a PR agency, you work amazingly as a buffer between the influencer and the client. And often the client, you know how I was about Anna Maria, wanting to please the client.
Yeah,
it's so helpful when you are able to explain to the client, well, this is why this is happening, and then say to me, they're fine with it, like this, and give me reassurance.
Managing expectations.
You're so, like, our comforter.
Yeah, so you're representing your client, but you're also representing the influencer.
Yeah, definitely. I feel that way, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like when I go to the client about you guys, I'm always, you know, representing you guys in the right way as well.
It's nice to know that.
You've got our back.
I think to myself,
I'm a bit worried about this, you know, for whatever reason, but I know that Ella gets it and Ella will explain it.
Yeah.
Then I know that also the PR...
That's key, I think.
Yeah.
You just have to, like, understand what each side wants and then make it work.
And then I think that makes a great relationship between the PR and the influencer.
Definitely.
In that there's trust.
Yeah.
I'd always say, don't do it over email as well. Always go and take the time as if it's just go and meet that person.
Okay.
Because then you realise that you're just normal people. You're all usually a similar age, and it breaks down all those weird formal boundaries,
and you
can have a much more honest conversation. So that would definitely be my tip: is don't conduct all of this over email. Always be willing to go and have a chat with them.
Definitely.
Yeah, and don't be scared.
Yeah, it helps with the confidence thing as well, because I remember when I first started, you know, I was terrified to reach out to people like you guys. You know, when I was just a little junior.
Isn't it? Because I would be nervous if you emailed me.
So you were nervous of each other.
Nervous of each other.
That's so funny.
So that initial contact, I think there's
contact.
You know, there's a bit of apprehension from both sides, because you think, oh, I've never met this person before.
Well, you want them to like you as well.
Yeah. But I think the mentality is, right, let's sit down and together, we've both got our mission here is both to impress this client, this same client.
Yes.
So why don't we sit down and together make the best plan ever?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Great plan. Coming up with ideas and creating plans
together. Exactly. So I think that's what would I feel as a blogger, it makes me feel really excited when I'm aware that PR's got that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
We just like to be friends with everyone.
Which is nice because it makes you, you know, approachable again for the next campaign. Yeah. If you've had a really good experience with an influencer, then, you know, we wouldn't hesitate to want to work with them again.
Yeah, yeah, and recommend people to others.
Yeah.
Yeah. But one final question, perhaps. When does the influencer get old news? When are you like, right, yeah, we've worked with this one,
where they put in the bin?
Oh, well, I don't think they do.
I don't think they ever go in the bin.
Because I guess you just carry on evolving. Like I was saying, like if you had a kid, then suddenly you're
exactly
available for the family sector and you've moved on.
So you can't have children for business purposes.
Yes, I can. I said, ideally, Laura, let's have baby at the same time. Ideally, Laura, let's both have twins.
Yeah.
No, because Claire would text me things like, did you do what you needed to last night?
So weird.
I don't want to say.
I do that last night. We're ovulating.
We're having matching apps.
Was that one of my questions? And you're like, let us know if you have any questions. Do you ovulate again?
Oh my god.
Don't know.
This bit's definitely going to be edited, isn't it?
Probably not.
Wow.
Oh no. And looks so uncomfortable.
We went there.
Right.
Sorry.
So another question. What do you call yourselves? Travel bloggers? Travel influencers?
Would you prefer
Claire, mate?
Claire.
This is actually, I would actually like to get your feedback.
Struggles with this,
because I feel embarrassed to say I'm a blogger for reasons I don't fully understand.
You understand them?
Yeah, I'm a 31-year-old woman and I feel like it's a hobby that maybe a teenager has.
Yeah.
And to say I'm a travel blogger at 31, I feel, I guess, embarrassed.
And I think we spoke about this earlier, didn't we? And we were saying that it's evolved. So initially it started out, people had blogs and they were bloggers.
Yeah.
Now you can not even have a blog.
Yeah.
And you're influencing people to travel.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're an influencer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might not have a blog, but you have an amazing Instagram channel.
Yes, yeah.
So then you're an influencer.
I think
if you have both.
Yeah.
What are you?
I think probably normally now we're referred to as influencers, and I take on that.
But I hate the term, but that's
fine. Maybe we need to create a new term.
Content
creator, often we get content creator.
Someone in Tesco's asked me this the other day, and they said, what is it that you do? And I thought, can I even be bothered to explain? So I said, I didn't. I just
said, how do you start conversations? You can't. Tesco's.
Oh, it was a man beeping my stuff to me. And he said, oh, are you working this weekend? And I said, no. And anyway, got onto that. But yeah, it's very hard.
That's
to
a bit nosy.
I know. But it's very hard to even, I find it very uncomfortable to say influencer.
I think actually what works really well for me is when people talk about, we love you and your community.
Yeah.
I think that then puts it in a really nice frame, is that it's about, not just about us, but it's about the people that follow us.
Yes.
And the fact that together we're creating a lot of conversation and tips and stuff.
Yeah, it's a community. We can do it about them. We're not influencing them. They're not being brainwashed. No, exactly.
No.
And they didn't go into this to influence people.
No, they're taking on objectively what they're seeing and making a decision from that. So I think, it would be along the lines of, hi, Laura and Claire, we absolutely love Twins at Travel and your community around it. Something like that, I think. I'd be like, that sits right with me.
Yeah.
I think another term that we often use in the office is like content creators.
Content creators, that's nice.
I honestly don't see this job that much different to when I was in marketing. I feel like I'm just a marketer.
Yeah.
I'm marketing places.
Marketeer.
A marketeer.
Yeah.
Because I'm just marketing places.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It is hard, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Jack of all trades.
A little bit of everything.
Everything. I'm a writer, photographer, podcaster.
Yeah. It's like we're back
award winning.
What's that one used to say? Something storyteller.
Someone said something about being a professional storyteller. I thought that was a load of
bollocks. I was thinking, that's quite cute.
Yeah, sit down and I'll tell you a professional story.
That would just remind me of someone sitting in a library reading.
Yeah, that's the same with me.
Yeah,
I think there's something around it. It would be really nice if an influencer's community was recognised.
Yeah,
as being a part of
as
it.
As a key part of our own success. Anything else? Or have we fulfilled your questions?
Do you have any more questions?
No, I think we've fulfilled.
It's suddenly turned into the other way around.
It's like a job interview.
We were like, let's ask them. Because you're like,
and
Ellie's like, well, I think we've fulfilled
everything. Well, we don't want to let you get away too lightly.
So tell us, what are you focusing on to end? What big campaigns have you got coming up that you're focusing on?
That you're allowed to talk about.
That you can talk about.
Sorry, can you sign an NDA?
Yeah.
I am currently working on the Visit Florida winter campaign.
Oh, yes. The one that's happening right now.
Yes, kicked off in January. We have had two people travel so far. We have Emily Luxton
and Dickie.
Vicky Flip Flop.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Hi.
In my WhatsApp group.
They went to Martin County in Florida.
Which is where Chloe went as well, Wanderlust Chloe.
It is where Wanderlust
last year.
Yes, and she did a great job, and the client was very happy.
Well done, Chloe.
I'll send her a WhatsApp in a minute. And yeah, I'm working on destinations within Florida, Sarasota County and Bradenton, which includes a lovely animal island. So I'm doing sort of trade and PR strategies for the year ahead for them, really. Not just influencers, but also trade marketing, tour operator campaigns, things that. So.
One last question then, which this has all reminded me of. The dreaded curse of blogging is the quiet months. And when do you say that you're less likely to hear from a PR company?
From PR? Oh, right.
When
travel PR.
When are we going to not hear from you?
October, November for travel PR, because that's World Travel Market.
Okay, so we're likely to hear.
Very busy with our clients.
Yeah. What about at this time of year? Where are you at thinking?
I'd say normally this is kind of the planning
stage.
Okay.
We don't, for Florida, speaking for Florida, or for my areas of Florida, it's very busy domestically, January, February, March.
Yeah. Within the US
market. So the US are going there for their holidays.
Yeah.
So I can't arrange too many press trips at the moment.
Okay.
But every client's different, every part of America or the rest of the world is completely different. But I'm kind of planning for the later down the line.
Yeah. And normally this would be planning time for me, but we have the campaign.
You have the winter campaign.
Yeah, now we're starting to plan for Hertz projects. So, it's...
Okay.
It's particularly busy.
So is there then one time a year or a couple of times a year when you're actively going out to influencers, or is it all dependent on your clients?
Depends on the clients.
Okay.
If the client's over, then
we're doing a lot of meetings.
Meeting people.
And it depends on financial year. So if there's budget left towards the end of the financial year,
squish them in some trips.
Squish a couple of trips in.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, it depends. I don't think there's a particular.
Well, I hear from you at any time of the year.
As a person who seeks routine, this is very disappointing because I can't structure anything.
I'm sorry.
But that's fine. Yeah. I'll let you go. But thank you
so much, girls.
Oh, you're welcome.
Ladies of London.
And we hope this was helpful. And to any influencers who want to answer any of the questions that the girls are asking, please at GoshPR and get involved in a conversation.
Yeah. So what were the questions?
What was your approach when working with PR agencies?
We didn't actually give that. You just sort of moaned instead about what... did.
It was still an insight. I'll take it.
Laura will tweet you later. Do you call yourself an influencer? What do you call yourself?
Yeah, influencers, bloggers, content creators, storytellers.
Professional storytellers. Okay then.
Thank you.
I don't know what our next podcast is going to be on yet.
No.
But we do have some more interviews lined up.
Yes, some exciting interviews and some probably more general whinges.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Say bye.
Bye.